The number one job of any parent is to look out for their kids.
Sometimes mom doesn't let me use my tablet.
Well, that is part of looking out for you. Your parents want to make sure you're safe while you're having fun.
I guess.
That's what we want too. We're Lingo Kids, and we're here to help parents out. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids because kids love it and parents can trust it.
What's it got?
Lingo Kids has lots of fun stuff that parents can feel good about, like songs and shows, plus activities featuring beloved Disney characters from Disney's Moana, Frozen, and more.
I love Disney stories.
Who doesn't? Lingo Kids has over 1 million daily users, so it looks like a lot of people love it already. Plus, when your parents download the Lingo Kids app, they can get a one-week free trial.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love. Download the app for free.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This rainy Tuesday, rainy, crappy Tuesday. Just want to let everybody know, kind of per our conversation yesterday, we're thinking about you if you are being affected by this in your workplace. A lot of you are, and we can certainly... We will think about you and hope that everything is resolved. And I know a lot of you are going through some tough times. You know what's interesting is we didn't even talk yesterday about planned events. I mean, I know it's small on the scale of what this country and the world is going through, but think about this. Chase, you could have been getting married this weekend or next weekend or the following weekend.
That's funny.
I know. It is. It's a far stretch example, but it could have been. It could have been the case.
Is it hot in here? I just got really warm.
And what would you do? I mean, honestly, what would you do? It's your big day.
Yeah, that's a tough call.
What do you do? If you have a wedding in 2 weeks, what do you do?
I saw a lot of local news coverage on that. I was flipping around watching our local channels, and pretty much all of them had a story like that, right? Because it's happening. It's reality. It's life. Life is changing.
And there's just a lot of you.
There's a lot of commitments that you have to make financially early, as we know, right?
That's right. And oh, by the way, this is spring break time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking my flights to L.A. for late May are probably going to be altered at some point.
Because I've talked to a bunch of people, and I think the beaches are about to close.
Probably.
Down in Florida. I think what I was being told this morning, because... Isn't Williamson County, this is their week? Are they this week or Davidson County? And Davidson is this week? Either way, I've talked to some people and they said they're being told by the place that they rented down there that they're anticipating everything being shut down basically this weekend.
I'm not sure.
The beaches, the restaurants.
I'm not sure that in a couple days.
That could change.
Everything will be shut down.
Don't forget. As I said yesterday, Dana White, you can keep acting like you're going to conduct business as usual, and the UFC is not conducting business as usual because nobody is other than the NFL because they don't have to do it in front of people.
Well, and WWE is, they announced yesterday WrestleMania won't take place in Tampa, but they're going to do it from their own facility in Orlando with a, limited crew, kind of like they've been doing the weekly TV shows. So,
and what's the date?
April 5th.
We'll see.
Yeah.
No, I actually think it will happen. I mean, they're doing everything in-house. So,
what came down yesterday after our show? Well, this is again.
What, a gathering
it changes
of 10.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
It changes every day. Yesterday when we came here,
50.
Gatherings of 50. Now it's gatherings of 10. There's a reason they're putting these in, right? They're not doing this because they're trying to mess up everybody's lives. This is the reality. So I'm not I know it's rainy outside. I'm not trying to rain on the parade at 10:04, but this is, we got to get used to this. This is how it's going to be for a while.
Yep.
So the beach is going to close. Like, did you saw the police cars go through Bourbon Street last night, right? Did you see that clip? I woke up. That was one of the first viral things that I saw. It's public health. We're in a national emergency. We got to get used to it.
Yep.
This is where we are.
Our buddy Jeremy K. Gover just texted me and said it's both. So it was C, all the above. Davidson County and Williamson County, okay. Both in spring break weeks. And so what do you do? I mean, you've got
hang out.
That's what I'm saying. I get it. There's a bigger picture, and there's a lot more to be concerned about. But, you know, this does affect people's lives.
Of course. It's affecting everybody's life.
It's a big deal. And so we just want to let you know that we are thinking about you, because a lot of you are having to make really, really tough decisions, and you're trying to figure out what the heck to do. And I kind of admitted that yesterday. I don't know what's the right thing to do. At some point on – didn't let our son go to a birthday party over the weekend. Didn't let him go to the end of your basketball party. But we were kind of phony, and we went out to eat, and we celebrated somebody's birthday. So it's like, what are we doing? Like, you know, let's – but there is no right answer, I guess. I don't know. Maybe – I mean, there is a right answer. Just do the right thing. Don't do silly stuff. But, it's crazy. The NFL is conducting their business. Really, there's nothing else – going on. I know that you just brought up the wrestling aspect, but WWE is going to have to change, my guess, their course of action too. Everybody who's tried to fight it, although they TSSAA, they continue to fight on.
Well, but I mean, you're probably right that they will have to change their course of action. But I mean, I watched the show last night. They barely had any live stuff. They were showing old matches. That's what they were doing. And they had a couple of in-ring things in their performance center, but there were not a lot of and it was all personnel, no fans in that building. So I think they're going to try and hold out on this as long as they can, but you may be right. They may be forced to do something different as this keeps changing and evolving.
Like I said, they're the last one standing. Everybody who's tried to hold out is no longer holding out.
Yep.
PGA tried it, right? We can go through NASCAR. By the way, NASCAR's now through May.
Yeah,
NASCAR? We're doing Atlanta. We're doing it.
Nope.
Now we're coming back in May, maybe?
They're aiming for May 9th, which is
Martinsville.
And they say they want to run. See, this could be interesting for them because they want to try and run all 36. Well, this could give them the opportunity to test what everybody thinks they're going to do at some point in the future, run some weekday races. Do some, prime time weekday races, try and get them all in. I could totally see it.
I don't understand why anybody would come out with a date at this point. It's just, to me, kind of senseless.
Yeah, I think it's got to be tagged with a best case scenario, right? We'll be ready to reassess by this date. That's probably the more realistic way to put it, because nobody knows the date.
Mm-mm.
Nobody knows the date.
It's everything's TBD.
Right. And the
not TB12,
I would hope
TBD.
The TSSAA, who is, I believe, the last person or last entity that I know to the party here, or one of the last, they have apparently, since the update yesterday, they have a big conference call today with their board. I really hope they're getting the best information they can from the medical experts, and they do what needs to get done, which is nobody should be playing. There's still some teams playing. I don't get it. Look around you. Look at what's going on. Nobody wants to do this, but this is what has to be done.
Look around you. The fields are locked up.
Somebody played last night.
Except for the ones
I hate calling out. I don't want to call out any particular school, but if you're still playing, you're really not looking around at what's happening around the world, not just here.
Yeah.
It's selfish.
I thought everybody was out of school. That's the amazing thing, is the fact that they're still able to play, which means their school has to be open.
Well, I thought
everybody was out.
I thought the governor is closed or said schools are closed.
Well, I'm hoping that influences the conference call today with the TSSAA, because he hasn't closed the schools, but the governor has said, I recommend that you close. I think that's what I got from the. Now, some it's really left up to each state right now. And most states are saying, we're closed. You know, it's just a matter of trying to make sure you have things in place for the kids who need to, you know, a lot of kids need meals or, you know, get meals from their school, right? There's a, how do we make sure that the kids who are now home, the parents have a chance to set up childcare and things like that, right? And are the childcare centers open? And what if mom or dad needs to go to work? I mean, there's all these things that we have to try to sort out when you close the school. But, it, again, it's what has to be done.
Yeah, I went to the Y yesterday. No more classes. I don't have any more classes. And steam room, sauna room shut down.
Yeah. And there are some places that have shut gyms down, period.
Yeah.
No, I think, how long are they going to be open?
I know.
Yeah.
I had a buddy that just texted me this morning, you going to the Y today? I said, I'm probably going to go every day I can just because I know it's limited time. They're probably going to shut down soon, would be my guess.
What about the pool?
It was open.
Was it?
Yeah.
The pool, according to...
But it was it's a lap pool, so...
Yeah.
The pool's okay. It can't be transmitted through the pool. This is what the doctors...
Is that because
of all...
I
watch questions and answer sessions on these news channels that have a doctor there. They have the people like you and me. They put a little video up, or just like they text us on the show, and they... The doctor answers the question. So
then why aren't we doing the show poolside?
Poolside wouldn't be bad.
I mean,
as long as we're 6 feet away, right? As long as you're not, you know, standing in the lane next to somebody and sneezing.
Well, you said
the
pool was fine.
The pool's okay as long as you're 6 feet.
Let's do the show in the pool. I don't know if that's a good idea.
With the equipment, it could be a little tricky. Dave in Murray, Kentucky says, I think they are all giving dates so we as fans can get our mind off of all of this mess and think about something else.
Yeah, I mean, I get
I think there's some truth to that.
I know, but then it just changes, you know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, look. You deal with this differently than I deal with this. So, I mean, some people might appreciate it and some people won't.
I know, but in the end, what we saw last week, everything, a lot of it's just false hope. You get excited and then it all goes away. So what are you really accomplishing? Are you getting excited about something that probably isn't going to happen? You know? I mean, to me, that's more of a downer.
Well, don't you
think?
That's why I'm a little bit conflicted, but I think I'm okay with it. The fact that the NFL has decided to go ahead with the transactions, right? It does provide us some... something of interest to follow.
I have no problem with that because they're not, I mean, you can do all that remotely. Like nobody's in a building.
That's the key is they announced all their measures too. Like you can't bring a guy in to do a physical.
Like I think most facilities are closed.
You can't do any off season workouts, but the transactions remotely and all that stuff, you're within the guidelines. It just feels a little icky. Right on some level that you're watching guys sign multi-million-dollar contracts when you know the economic weight that's on everybody. That's what gives me a little bit of pause, but I do think it's fulfilling a big need for any sports fan, right? Or anybody that's got a lot of time on their hands, right? And they need to fill that time, right? And this is a passion of theirs, so following the league. So you have something happening. So
I
get that.
Everybody on the studio shows are basically in their houses. Like nobody's in a studio.
You got to observe the 6 foot rule, the distancing, all of that.
We will have Ramon Foster on at noon today. He announced his retirement from the league after 11 seasons yesterday. So we'll talk to him at high noon. But when we come back, Trevecca AD Mark Elliott. We'll find out what it's been like as an athletics director going through this. There's no real manual on what to do, but we'll just let him take us through the steps. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Strange times for all of us. No different if you're an administrator. Mark Elliott is on the line with us, athletics director over at Trevecca. Mark, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. I believe when you signed up to be AD, they probably didn't have you a manual of how to handle coronavirus. I'm pretty sure.
No, and there's no courses at the university.
Nope.
For that. It's the school of hard knocks. But, you know, Darren, there's a lot of precedent in business for these kinds of things across the board. And so I don't think there's a lot of panic over here. We're sad. We wish we didn't have to do it. We feel really bad for particularly a lot of seniors. And I could be real specific on some of those and give you names of some stories that last a long time here. But still, you know, it's a thing that you just have to live with. Was it the right decision? We really won't know for another month. Probably will we?
Probably not, at least that. So what was the Division II stance? Kind of just take us through and what you guys were talking about. As I mean, last week was crazy for everybody, and it changed hourly every 15 minutes at times. So what was it like over on the campus of Gervecca? As I'm sure you guys were constantly meeting, you were probably on the phone a lot. Kind of just take us through last week.
Sure. Thanks for the question and for the opportunity to open this up. You know, we started thinking about this 2 or 3 weeks ago. I couldn't tell you the date. I could go back and look, but our administration had a meeting with everybody over our spring break, which was this past week, was going to go on mission trips. And there was a lot of group trips that were going to Belize, to Jamaica, to Colombia, all over the place. Groups. We had two athletic teams that were doing mission trips during spring break, and there was a general meeting. And at that time, they were basically saying, okay, you guys need to make a decision if whether you want to go or not. Fast forward a day or so, and then all of a sudden it became, no, we're not going to let you guys make that decision. We need to make that decision for you. So this was happening about 2 weeks ago as people were trying to determine whether or not they should go on these spring break trips, mission trips to, in some cases, third world countries, et cetera. And so we were thinking about this long before, but never thought it was going to get to this point. Okay, fast forward. We're into our spring break. We have a couple of teams that are on the road. Our baseball team's on the road. Our softball team's on the road. Our track team is on the road. And obviously a lot of fall and winter sports are finished, right? And so at one point it looked like it was coming on, and we just made the decision, Darren, that we were going to go business as normal, business as usual. We were having meetings. I'll say maybe not meetings, more like conversations across campus. I called Scott Corley over Belmont and was asking him about it, and of course he was busy doing the same thing, right? And we just decided we were going to go on business as normal, but that was before a lot more information came out. I'll say Thursday was the morning that really impacted all of us, in that the SEC tournament had played. Then they made the determination that they were going to play the game, but no fans were going to be allowed to be there. And I think that's when it really struck home to us, and that's when we started kind of bunkering down, saying, okay, this is real, this is important, this is very vital for us to sort of be in the midst of this. No longer can we look at our past decision as being correct because new information has been injected here. Our decisions previously have been rendered irrelevant. So we decided that we would stop playing, and our things, but we would come back in 2 weeks, move forward with the season. Then the GMAC conference said, you know, we're done for the year. We thought, okay, we're done for the year with GMAC conference events and championships, but we can still play non-conference events because we're still thinking our students are coming back to campus at some point. Fast forward to today, it's shut down for the rest of the year, and it's shut down just about everywhere. I don't know of many places that are going to be open having at least athletic competition and in some cases not even school face-to-face classes for the rest of the year.
Mark, let's talk. You were an athlete in the SEC. I want you to talk about, because you brought up the kids, and you know, mm-hmm. some of these kids may not get another opportunity to do, you know, to do this. Maybe they had their season stripped away, and maybe that's it. I know it's a little bit different. It's not exactly apples to apples, but you lost out on a postseason experience as a player, and I think it's because you guys decided to turn down the bid. So, just what was that like for you back then when you were playing?
Yeah, I was bitter. I thought, you know, you know, as a 20-ish-year-old somebody, it seems like ancient history ago, but it was a decision that was made for the right reasons. We didn't think so at the time, and in fact, it wasn't until many years later that I found out more about what went behind that decision. But we were naive enough to think, heck, we don't need a coach, because the coach had been dismissed. We'll go coach ourselves, or we'll find an assistant coach to step into that spot, right? So I was bitter, but it was many years later that we found out, you know, that was probably the right thing to do. Doesn't make it easier, but at least you know and have an understanding of why the decision was made. I think that's what's going on now. I think if we were unilaterally making that call, Darren, there would be a lot of athletes that would be very disappointed and be mad at us. Because it's so widespread and everybody's making the same decision, I think there's a greater understanding now. It doesn't make it any easier, but it does it does make it more palatable for the athletes. I don't think there's going to be anybody who's an athlete at Trevecca who's mad, bitter, upset, only in the short term. Now, in the long term, you know, if they never get a chance to go to postseason tournament, but, you know, the NCAA has come back and given another year of eligibility to anybody who wants it. There's just an awful lot of seniors who, at some point, they think, you know, okay, I've had my time, I'm going to go on, I'm going to get into business, I'm going to go to grad school, whatever. But the NCAA has done about as much as they can to mitigate the circumstances.
Coach Mark Elliott is on the line. I call him Coach E. He's the athletic director at Trevecca. He was my assistant coach at Vanderbilt basketball. He just referred. He was a basketball and baseball excellent player back in the day at Vanderbilt. Coach, you just talked about what the NCAA has tossed out there to seniors who feel like, okay, spring sports, we didn't play much of our season. We're going to give them a chance to come back. The logistics of that, I'm sure – you guys have the wheels turning already on how that would work. It's not, I'm sure it's not easy. So what have the discussions been like, and how easy will this, how tough will this be to pull off?
Well, first of all, Willie, it's really good to talk, because you and I are in a fraternity of very, very few people of playing basketball and baseball.
That's right.
Together, right? So, yeah, you're always special to me. you know, this is going to be really difficult. It's an easy decision for the NCAA, for us, for everybody to say, we're going to give you another year of eligibility left. Uh-oh, what does that completely mean? They still don't know, and they're giving themselves, the NCAA Administrative Committee I'm speaking to now, they're giving themselves until April 15th to figure it out. You know, here's one example of what I'm trying to say. Golf, men's and women's golf, their championship season, in other words, when they compete for the championship, is in the spring. And yet, because of the nature of golf, it's a fall and a spring sport. So you get regional rankings by playing in the fall, but you don't really play your championship conference nor NCAA until the spring. Well, they're going to give you your spring semester back, but in Division II, you have 10 full-time semesters in order to complete your eligibility. Are they going to give golf back 2 semesters of eligibility? In softball, in baseball, this is way easier, because all you have to do is give them 1 year of eligibility back. This is going to complicate eligibility. It's going to complicate amateurism. It's going to complicate progress towards degree decisions all across the board. So a long-winded answer to your question, Willie, is they have said, yes, we know philosophically we're going to give these seniors and everybody an additional year of eligibility, but does that mean 2 semesters, et cetera, right? So, like I said, they're giving themselves until April 15th to try to figure this out, how they can, all the ancillary rules that are going to have to be participating in this decision across the board, they're going to give themselves some time to figure it out.
You know, I think about leadership a lot during these times, Coach E, and, you know, you said something that really resonated with me when you were talking about your students that were planning on going overseas, and you said it went from a point to, we recommend, to, we got to make this decision for you. So that's got to be a lot of weight on the leadership of you and your school when you make these tough decisions. But that's really what a lot of leaders across our country are dealing with, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'll give you maybe a synopsis, executive summary of what happened in that meeting. A couple of our coaches, Kelsey Phoenix, our women's soccer coach, Danny Levy, our men's soccer coach, were in that meeting getting ready to lead mission trips overseas, and they were in that meeting, and they kind of looked at me and said, don't think we need to be able to have to make that decision whether or not we're going to go or not. And I mean, think about this. There's people who have raised money, who've asked other people for money, who have given to a mission trip fund given to the university, not to the individual students, right? And that's what was expected from this money. Now, all of a sudden, you've got flights that have to be canceled. You've got reservation things, you know, all kinds of, you can imagine what's going on here. And now, all of a sudden, they have to make the decision to stop this. And I just laid it down on the table to the administrative council who was there, saying, this is not a coach's decision. This has to be made at a university-level decision. They accepted that responsibility, and then they made it for us. And it was the right thing to do because it wasn't just a couple of athletic teams who were going on mission trips. It was a business department. It was the music department. It was all kinds of people across the campus who were in the same boat. So, yeah, responsibility. I don't know. I wrote to our athletes. I don't know that we'll ever fully in totality understand the weight and the pressure that's on the administrative council and the cabinet, in particular our president, Dr. Boone, at this time. But it's pretty significant, the pressure and the weight that's on them.
On a little bit of a lighter note, you as a Vanderbilt alum, and I know you're close to this because of the coach that you hired, but we saw that Grand Canyon has hired Bryce Drew to be the men's basketball coach. What do you know about Grand Canyon? It's good news for Coach Drew, though.
It is. It's fantastic news. I knew a little bit about it through my relationship with Mike Hamilton, the former athletic director at University of Tennessee, who was considering being the athletic director there a couple of years ago. So he knows a lot about it. This is an all-online campus, a phenomenal campus, great facilities, fastest-growing university probably in the country. They've got amazing dorms. Everybody is still on campus. They're online. Now, some of this may have changed over the last couple of years, and yet it's a premier job that I wouldn't be surprised seeing the Pac-12 at some point very soon.
Wow.
It's a significant job, and it's a great job for Bryce. Dan Marley has been there. He was one of my heroes back in the day, right? He's been there for a long time. Phenomenal facilities, phenomenal climate, phenomenal place to live. I think this is fantastic for Bryce, and I'm really happy for he and Tara and the family. And, you know, haven't spoken with all of the people that could potentially be in his corner on his staff, but it strikes pretty close to home, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does. I mean, all the guys that, you know, Casey Shaw, for those who don't know, his brother-in-law, who is an assistant coach, I mean, they've had their family here even since they haven't been coaching. So I don't know if, like you said, Coach, I just saw this for the first time. I don't know who he's taking with, but I'm just really glad that he's got another opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. I am too. I think he's going to do a great job out there. I'm happy for him. And, you know, Willie, it's what I said. Sometimes it's a slow day when you have to call a Division II athletic director on the sports side of things. But so I text you real fast about, hey, if you need to talk about Bryce Drew, that's a huge story. It is a really important story to Nashville, I think. And if you needed to back me up, then, hey, take that information and run with it. But I'm happy to talk about Bryce Drew. He's a good friend, and I think he's a fantastic coach.
Mark Elliott is with us, Trevecca's athletic director. So as this process all moves forward, you know, I try and look at things of anything that happens. You can learn from it. You can grow from it. And this is unprecedented in all the changes and the cancellations and things that we're going through. What are some things that you think that you guys can look at of, okay, maybe we can do this a little differently because we've had to change things up?
Wow, that's you hit the nail on the head, Chase. I'm thinking with all of our coaches who we have just kind of made the decision, and I don't feel bad stating this. You know, we're putting a spending freeze on the entire campus because at this point you really don't know how this is going to flush out financially for the university, right? So we want to be very careful about that. We're not in trouble, but at the same time, we're just trying to be prudent, and I'm doing that with the athletic department. You know, we need to replace the money that we were going to spend on trips and things like that to our seniors, to our ball teams, to our participants, coaches, athletes, everybody, with something that's specific to them, that can make them feel like they've been valued, cherished, honored by this community. So we're looking at things like that. Now, we're face-to-face meetings with our coaches. We've told them to go home and work from home. Now, we're gonna investigate a lot of delivery systems by how we Zoom or how we WebEx or how we GoToMeeting, you know, to try to do video conferencing. But we're still going to try to do the things that you're supposed to do, the social distancing and all that kind of stuff, to keep this coronavirus thing down. But, no, we're thinking very – and what we have to do this in order to be able to look at those people who are hearing my voice today, who are thinking about, I'm a high school senior, I want to go someplace to school, who's going to care about me? Those are super important things for us to think about, and we'll be able to make decisions here locally that will affect people in the future, because they'll say, I want to go to that place because they value me. So, Chase, your question is very well thought out. I'm not going to give all the things that we're thinking right now, because there's so much that's just on the drawing board, right, as to how we're going to cherish, honor, and do something for our athletes in this case, in this time that's very unprecedented. Still abiding by NCAA rules, you can't give them a Rolex watch or a car, but by golly, we can do something to make them feel valued.
Well, and trying to look at the glass half full, I mean, you know, you just brought it up with Zoom and other technologies that you have. At least, you know, now in 2020, you know, kids can take online classes and be able to still communicate even from a remote setting. And I think that's pretty cool that they're able to do that.
Wow. Can you imagine, hey, Will, back in our day when we were working together, can you imagine if this would have happened? We had just started, you know, the beepers, right? I remember
right.
I got a beeper that your I think it was your freshman or sophomore year, and you guys were trying to, you know, put little phrases on the beeper that were kind of, you know, beeper humor, and I was like, I had no idea what you were talking about. But, you know, that was the technology back then. We were just getting fax machines back then. I remember back in your day, Willie, we were actually by mail sending pregame meal menus to Starkville, Mississippi, right? By mail. That's how we communicated what kind of menu we wanted for pregame meal.
Wow.
It's amazing today where we are.
How much extra time do you think you would be able to save putting together the edit tapes, the scouting tapes that you used to do, or, you know, or going back through our games and grading the tape like you and the staff would do? I mean, how much more efficient is that now than it was back then? It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. And to be honest with you, there's been spinoff businesses that do that for you now. We don't even have to do that anymore. Our coaches now have a service that says, I want all the offensive clips from the team that I'm just getting ready to send you a video from, right? I want all the offensive clips that, you know, run a high post offense or whatever they might do on offense. This is basketball specifically now. And boom, the service does it for you. I mean, you just click a button anymore. You set the parameters, you click a button, and it does it for you. How much time? Boy, I can remember slaving over videotape after videotape after videotape. I learned an awful lot of basketball, and I think some of these assistant coaches are not learning as much basketball because they're not scouring those tapes by hours and hours and hours trying to pick out-of-bounds plays and try to pick up different issues with, you know, idiosyncrasies of players and things like that. But, yeah, the technology is amazing, and we could have saved a lot of time. And, yeah, I could have known my kids and my wife a lot better if I'd had some of that technology with me then.
We can relate. We have a service that sends us a four-hour script every day, and we just read from it for 4 hours. So
you know,
how cool.
Like show prep? I thought that was all show
prep,
guys.
Nope. We just read from a script. It's a service that does it for us. Hope we're doing a good job, or actually they're doing a good job. Mark, appreciate the visit as always. It's strange times. We'll check in with you down the road, though. Appreciate you coming on.
Feel free to do so. Thank you for including us in this tape today.
All right, Mark. Thank you. Mark Elliott over at Trevecca, the athletics director, former SEC athlete, as you just heard. Who was the better basketball/baseball player, you or Mark?
Him, by far. By far.
Not even close.
Not even close. Now, we both got – he got a little further than I did in the minor leagues. But it was – if you look at his stats, there's no comparison. He was a really – the only thing I had on him is I pitched as well as played in the field. Where he played in the field, but he got drafted by the Mets. But if you look at his stats, he was legit a really, really good basketball player on some good teams. He played with Charles Davis, you know, and some teams like back in the day, back when he played, it was before 64 teams went to the tournament. If they did back then, I think Vanderbilt would have gone a bunch of times while he was playing. So even back then, making the NIT was an accomplishment.
He was
a much bigger thing. Making
late 70s?
Late 70s to the early 80s. I want to say like 77 to 81, somewhere in there. He played on an SEC baseball championship. That's, you know, the only one. Well, not the only one. Larry Schmidt had a couple in the early 70s, but between about 1974 and the Tim Corbin era, there was one team that won it. It was 1980, and he was a part of that team.
We appreciate Mark joining us. When we come back, Tom Brady has informed the Patriots he will not be back. we'll discuss on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have cleaned the tables. We're ready to rock and roll. Good stuff from Mark Elliott, Trevecca AD. Always good to catch up with him. Tom Brady has told the Patriots. He told Robert Kraft, thanks for the memories. Appreciate you, boss.
Didn't tell me. Jerk.
Did not respond to Chase.
I let him know I'm not happy.
Well, you should.
I did. I tweeted this morning.
You made the effort. Just like he's done his career, he's made the effort. He's put in the work. You put in the work on Twitter, and you got nothing.
Would you like to hear what I said to him today? I said, hey, man, I've been asking you nicely for the last week what you were going to do. I sat by my phone forever. A heads up would have been nice. I thought we were friends. Anyway, good luck. Where are you going?
I thought you were going to end it with, was it me?
That would have been good.
Just level with me.
Now here's the best
part.
What
if you got something back from it? It wasn't you, it was me.
This is the mess that I have caused for myself. Because, as you guys know, on the show, I have been like, hey, re-sign Tannehill. Stick with what you know. I have stuck by that.
So he saw that you were two-faced about it. That's really, he got the word.
Well, people see my tweets to him, and they think it means that I want him. I just thought it was funny for the show, and I was trying to find out what he was going
to
do.
You were trying to use that to get a scoop.
Yes, exactly.
But people, yeah. He saw right through that. He's Tom Brady. He's the greatest quarterback of all time.
You don't think he didn't put in the work?
So now what I have
reading
to do...
Reading your tweets?
He's prepared. He prepared.
Yeah. Now I have to start tweeting Ryan Tannehill, letting him know, like, dude, I was with you every step
and
of the way.
He's going to be like, yeah, right. Yeah, right.
I'm just in a mess now.
You've gotten yourself in one.
Yeah. Tannehill got paid, man. He don't care.
Yeah.
He don't care.
Who's this guy?
It's like, man, I just signed 118 mil.
Yeah.
Smell you later. Chase Macklin, babe.
And so you got Brady on the move.
So let's say this.
Cam
right
Newton
out of the
seeking
gates.
A trade.
Tell you what, big props in all seriousness to Jeff Darlington, who nailed this story. He absolutely nailed it. Okay? Jeff Darlington nailed it. And as we told you for a month and a half talking about this, this was legitimate. We told you that. We said the reason we're talking about it is because there is something to this. And sure enough, yeah, he didn't come here, but he's gone. He's leaving the Patriots. So it was a reality, okay? It was a reality that he is exploring other options. The option just ended up not being here. But Jeff Darlington came out with some really, really strong comments on ESPN that we played many, many times. And I remember several weeks ago he said, at this point, I would be stunned if he went back to New England. That was a pretty bold statement to say on Get Up and all the ESPN platforms weeks ago. At this point, I would be stunned if he went back to New England, because we played that many times. And so props to Jeff Darlington. We told you he's a good reporter. Mm-hmm. And
honestly,
he nailed this.
I didn't know who he was until you guys explained it. I did not. I probably should have, but he was. You're right.
Well, the story I told when you were gone is in 2010 when I was down in Miami covering the Titans and the Dolphins. In fact, that was going into the bye week, was it not? Yes, that was going into the bye week. That was the game that they went into the bye week. Kerry Collins got hurt in the first half,
yep.
And that's when they traded for Randy Moss. Remember, that's what we started that
waivers.
Whole conversation.
They didn't trade for him. They got him
off. That's right. That's right. They got him off waivers.
Yep.
They signed Randy Moss. And then the first game out of the bye was the San Diego game.
Yep.
So I was telling the story, Willie, that
and
I was
San
down
Diego
there for
has
that.
The Chargers, and the Chargers, that's where Brady's going to go. But continue.
Yeah, and you said that would be the place how long ago? Month? Month and a half ago?
2 months ago.
2 months ago?
Before we started this to hear talk.
I will say this, though. I'm not sure that they're the favorite right now. I kind of feel like
the
Bucks
are the sexy pick, but I don't. Unless he really has a lot of respect for Bruce Arians and would love to work with Bruce Arians, that's the only appeal to me. Now, I mean, he's got some receivers down there. Don't get me wrong, but I see him more as an LA guy. That fits him.
I think it does. It makes sense, but it does seem like it's a two team race at this point.
Keenan Allen, Tom Brady, they wouldn't be bad.
No, but Chris Godwin and Mike Evans seems a lot more attractive. and Bruce Arians.
Hell, he might go to Buffalo now. See you, Josh Allen.
My goodness. Buffalo is loading up. That mafia is going to be crazy.
I'll tell you what, they gave up a lot.
They want to win the
East. Stephon Diggs.
I know.
Boy, did they give up a lot. But he is what they need. But, I saw some
look at their
offense
now.
Tweets to this effect, and I think it's a legit thing, is Stephon Diggs, if you're frustrated with Kirk Cousins, you're likely to be frustrated with the Bills' passing game, right? Unless it becomes, a totally new thing. Josh Allen has got his strengths, but he's got his weaknesses. Diggs is going to help, but I don't know that his numbers are going to be that much better.
If you were mad at Kirk Cousins, yikes.
Kirk Cousins may not be a lot of things, but he's pretty accurate. Like, he completes 70% of his passes.
And he slings the ball around a lot.
Yeah. So,
I don't know how much.
And we know sometimes when you change addresses as a receiver, you don't always pick up your numbers and bring them over to the new team.
I don't know how happy he'll be when his quarterback takes off running 12 times a game. I don't know how happy that'll make the receiver.
They don't throw the ball. They won't throw as many passes, I don't think.
No.
Unless they change their offense. If they do what they've been doing, they won't throw nearly as many times as the Vikings.
No. But I'll tell you what. Look at the pieces they've got on offense. Dawson Knox, they're tied in.
Yep.
Nashvillean. Singletary in the backfield.
Yep.
Cole Beasley. Guy.
I love Cole Beasley.
And who am I missing? Who's the other guy, the other receiver?
John Brown.
John Brown. Hello. So they've got the speedy guy, John Brown. They now have Stephon Diggs,
who can play receiver, inside or outside.
Yeah, and Cole Beasley, the slot guy. And a big tight end in Dawson Knox. And a guy who can run the ball and catch the ball.
And look, everybody hates on the quarterback, but with those weapons, he should be able to do something. And he's not terrible. There are definitely worse options.
No, he's not terrible, but he is not in the upper echelon of throwing quarterbacks.
Doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be.
You're right.
With those weapons, he doesn't have to be. They got a pretty good defense, too. So,
is Lamar in the upper echelon of throwing quarterbacks?
No.
No, but guess what? It works.
What do they have? They have weapons and they have defense.
Yep. And what do the Bills have?
Weapons and defense.
Yep.
By
the way, you know what else I think they both have? A really good coach.
Yeah, I completely agree.
A really good coach. I don't think Sean McDermott gets enough credit.
He doesn't.
I really don't. I think he's done an outstanding job in Buffalo. That has been just a cesspool for 20 years. Just a whole lot of losing. And he's gotten there, and he's changed what? They've been in the playoffs twice? The last, four years?
That sounds right, yeah. Because they went.
I just think he's a really underrated coach.
They went last year?
They lost to Jacksonville in a heartbreaker, and they lost to Houston in a heartbreaker. What were they up? 17-0 last year on Houston? What was the.
Yeah.
They were up big. They just fell apart.
And people up there are still stinging from that. There's no question. That was a tough one.
Leslie Frazier.
Should've won that game.
You know, coached, I think it was the head coach of Minnesota. He's the DC and has done a tremendous job with that. So he's got the right staff. He's got the right pieces.
He's got the right stuff.
And look, they should be in. I see what you did there. They should be in contention to win the East. I mean, you never are going to rule out Belichick, and you never should rule out Belichick. But with Brady gone, I mean, it's a whole new ballgame. And
I will say this.
Miami has made some big moves in the last few days to try and get better. So
Miami, too. Tell you what, they get Tua with what they've got.
The Jets still suck, but.
Hello. Yeah. Willie, we were off by a year. We were close to nailing the Patriots, our bold prediction. We missed it by a year, obviously. The year that they lost to the Eagles, we said that was it. They were never going to get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember.
Now, we were off. They went the next year and won it.
I think I was still on the show. Still producing.
Really?
I think so.
So we missed it by a year, but I don't believe it.
I bounced around.
They're never getting back.
Yeah, I would say so. Again, can't rule out Belichick, but I think Jared Stidham probably don't go that way. But
I think it'll be really exciting to see
what they do.
What Bill Belichick can do with what's left there.
Sure.
Right? I think that.
But there's quarterbacks available. His quarterback may not be on the roster.
Stimulated to accept this challenge, right? Let's see what I can do.
They're
not going to be a pushover, I think. You know,
who's that?
The Patriots.
No, but I mean, we're talking about going back to the Super Bowl. Our prediction
going
was they'll
the
never,
Super Bowl,
they'll never get back to the Super Bowl.
If you can't beat them now, I don't know how.
Right.
Under Belichick and Brady.
With the Chiefs and all the other teams that look like they're going to be pretty good.
I'm going to tell you guys this, though.
But I do think it'll be a compelling thing to watch what they do every week.
Yeah.
Because they still will be the Patriots. They're going to be extremely prepared. They're going to make smart decisions from here until the start of the season, including who their quarterback's going to be. They're not going to, if they don't think Jared Sittum can do it, he won't be the quarterback.
I don't think they think he can do it.
Well, we're going to find out here in a couple weeks, right?
There's a quarterback in my mind that would have been a good fit there and should have gone there, and he made a mistake, and that's Mariota. I think Marcus Mariota should have gone there. That would have been a really good fit for him.
Well, how do you know that they showed interest?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Like, I think Bill Belichick has been preparing for this since they lost that game to the Titans.
Now, let me ask you this. What about Cam Newton? Because the report has come out that, and the Panthers tweeted this, we've given Cam Newton permission to seek a trade. And Cam has responded and saying that, I never asked for a trade. I love the Panthers, but you guys are painting me in a light of this is on me.
I don't think Cam is a New England Patriot type.
Probably not.
Especially at the quarterback position.
Yeah, because Bill would not put up with some of that.
No.
Or
I think that Andy Dalton just feels like the fit. Andy Dalton's a really smart quarterback. He is. And I know he gets beat up a lot by people. I don't really know why. He's been a really solid. I mean, he had a really good little run with Cincinnati. By the way, how's Cincinnati looked since Andy Dalton hasn't been the guy for a while? I mean, I'm not saying he's great, but I don't know. Bill Belichick, Andy Dalton had a lot of successful seasons in Cincy. Couldn't win a playoff game, but he took him to the playoffs. He's a smart quarterback. I just think that makes sense. The other guy that's intriguing, I don't think it'll happen, just kind of going back to the Cam Newton thing. Jameis Winston has all the talent in the world to really light it up.
That's another good one.
But does Belichick have faith that he'll make the right decisions, and will he stop throwing 50 picks a year?
Well, that's going to be up to Josh McDaniels. I mean, Belichick obviously is the guy, and everything runs through him, but Josh McDaniels is the one that's going to be working closely with whoever that quarterback is. Now, I see Andy Dalton as more of a fit with McDaniels in that offense, but I think you bring up a good point with Jameis Winston, that working with somebody like McDaniels and in that system, that could help him develop more as a quarterback. Let's see what his vision looks like after the LASIK surgery. You know, does that change some things? I mean, I know everybody kind of jokes about it, but hey, it could make a difference. You never know. But I also think he was with a pretty good quarterback guru for a year in Bruce Arians. So, I mean, that's another thing to look at. Cam here, I pulled it up. Cam's response to the Panthers: stop with the wordplay. Never asked for it. There is no dodging this one. I love the Panthers to death and will always love you guys. Please do not try and play me. And then it cuts off. But he basically went.
See what
in
I mean? I just don't. I'm not sure New England is is up for what it takes to have a guy like Cam around. He takes up a lot of.
I mean, Andy Dalton fits kind of that Patriot way.
Oh yeah, but no, that's why I said
I don't even know if James
does. It also depends on. Is their mindset, you know what, we have a great defense. If we get the best quarterback that fits, we could still contend, right? They're not going to be the favorite for the Super Bowl, but they could still contend. If that's their mindset, that's going to take them in one direction. If their mindset is, you know what, this is the end of the era, we need to restock, let's take a step back for a year. If we know we don't have the quarterback, and let's see if we can find some draft picks here to where we can start identifying who the next guy is, then that would make sense too. right? And maybe you let Stidham go for a year and you start looking at who they're going to draft, right? But I do think they have been working on this for months, right? It's the writing has been on the wall. Like, if you've been listening to Darlington, you kind of knew. Like, we had the person, who was the woman on who covers the Patriots?
Boston Herald.
Boston Herald. She was saying, you know what, it's...
less than 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there were a lot of people that didn't want us talking about it. A lot of people, because they felt like, give me a break. Forget that he's even coming here. He's not leaving New England. There were a lot of people.
And that was always the response.
Like, there's no way he's not going to be back with the Patriots.
My point is, whether you knew that then or know it now, you know it now.
Well, I disagree that the writing was on the wall, that people were not willing to accept that he was going to leave.
The Patriots knew. The Patriots behind the scenes knew.
Well, that stuff gets out. Why do you think that stuff gets out? Of course.
But I guess my point is, they will have done their homework. They haven't just woken up today and said, you know what? Now we got to go find a quarterback.
Holy crap. Now what are
we
going to do?
We got to go find a quarterback now. Like, I think they've been scouring. They know what they want to do.
Yeah. Bill, who do you think is going to be your quarterback? You know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks out there. And
Well, hey, let's give him credit for the statement, though. Well, he did that right. Right? The farewell to Tom Brady. The statement.
Sure, we think he wrote that.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. He's a smart guy.
I actually think he would have.
I think he
wanted Bill
to do
wants
that,
to
right.
control the message.
Anything
that comes out of that, he's got.
He's
his hands
a historian.
On.
He's also a historian.
He is. There are just some words.
And if you'll notice,
some words I've never heard Bill say.
Well, if you watch the NFL Network on these Pro Football Life and stuff, sometimes they do these documentaries.
Yeah, when he's on stuff like that, he's completely different.
He's a totally different guy.
Yeah, he's funny.
He's funny. It's awesome.
Bill's funny.
You look forward to seeing
him. He's a funny guy.
He's a funny guy. You guys don't understand. He's funny. I've heard that for years. He's really funny. Yeah. That's great.
Patriots tank for Trevor. Dynasty continues till 2036. That's what somebody said on the text line.
There'll be a lot of teams tanking for Trevor. Lots.
I could totally see Belichick doing that too. Just get rid of everybody and be awful.
It worked for the Colts.
Sure did. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two on this rainy Tuesday. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. I'm Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Are you a parent who feels guilty about screen time?
No.
No, not you, sweetheart. But your mommy and daddy do. Because too many apps are filled with AI garbage, inappropriate videos, and random content.
Like a dancing potato.
Or worse. That's what parents worry about. We're Lingo Kids, the number one entertainment platform for young kids. Because kids love it, and parents can trust it. They want songs, videos, and interactive games that are safe.
And fun.
And fun.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.